There's bound to be rain in our doom.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see? You start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Mouth-titters,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It is Michelle Anna Jordan. Hope you've had a good weekend. Nice visit, all too brief, to the Santa Rosa Farmers Market yesterday morning, the one at Wells Fargo, where I got some of the most fabulous mahi-mahi. I think the best I've ever tasted. I was buying for a group of people. Oh, it was so good. So thanks very much to fishmonger Dave LeGros of Bumblebee Seafood for that. Also got to spend just a little bit of time this morning at the Sebastopol Farmers Market, and it was absolutely as glorious as ever. And if you, like me, have been mourning the fact that the two sisters who grew the best butter lettuce I have ever tasted have left the area and no one has taken their place, we now have Singing Frog Farms. And really interesting to me is the fact that Singing Frog Farms is not that far from where the sisters' farm had been. They're on Ferguson. Singing Frog is on Ferguson, but up near Mill Station. And Sisters Farm was was just off Mill Station, fairly close to where Ferguson starts. So, is that the magic lettuce triangle? Anyway, right now they have really beautiful big butterhead lettuces that have that creamy buttery texture that makes you understand why they have the name that they do. So, hope you got out to a farmer's market. And then I'm not going to whine a whole lot about daylight savings time, but which I usually do. I usually spend several weeks whining about it. But I'm just going to say one thing this year. If you don't like it, if you don't like the changes, you can go to the White House website. You can Google this and it'll take you right there. Go to the White House website, the petition section, and there is a petition to do away with daylight savings. Do it one way or the other. Quit changing it. They need 100,000 signatures before the White House will spend any time considering it. But once they get 100,000 signatures, they will at least read it and see what everyone's saying. So, you know, I think it's against nature. I want high noon to be high noon when the sun is right overhead. Anyway, enough of that. Go sign the petition like I did. And now we're changing topics entirely. Kevin West is here in the studio with me. He is the general manager of Madrona Manor, right there where West Side Road makes that big curve into Healdsburg, and West Dry Creek Road begins, I believe, if I have it right.
Absolutely, right on the corner there.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, welcome. I'm so glad you had the time to come on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And I realized once you were scheduled, I've never had anybody from Madrona Manor on before, which is just weird. And what inspired me was I saw that you were doing a Great Gatsby dinner.
Yes, well, we're doing a Great Gatsby event. It's not actually going to be a dinner, and we're going to be making history a little bit, because I don't think that anybody really knows exactly what to expect from this event. It's a little new in terms of what Madrona Manor does, but we're all very excited about it. In fact, I watched the movie last night for the first
which
time.
Which version did you watch?
The Robert Redford and
with
Mia Farrow. Yes. And, you know, just getting ideas for what I'm going to wear that day, I guess.
Absolutely. and really, the fashion is so much of what it's about.
Yeah, and, you know, recently my wife's father drove cross country at Christmas time, and he brought us their old Victrola. And with a amazing record collection, and I've collected records for a while anyways, but to have this cranking Victrola, it's a beautiful floor standing model where you open the top and you crank it. I didn't realize you have to replace the needle each time you play a record.
It's I didn't know that.
Amazing. But the music that came with this, these old records, I mean, I heard three of the songs in the movie last night. I mean,
that makes me want to go and watch it. That makes me want to watch the movie.
Yeah, so we're excited about that part of it. Also, I think, you know, part of it for me as a kid, visiting my mother's Aunt Madeline, who basically raised my grandmother. She, during that era, you know, was basically a flapper.
And, oh, cool.
We got to go in her attic and find all these amazing hat boxes and open them up to see what was inside. And so we're really excited about people that are going to, you know, do it up and dress up from the era. And Madrona Manor really lends itself to that type of garden party. But because we're in the business of doing weddings and we have, you know, guests at the hotel and the restaurant doing dinner, we haven't always found the time to maybe go outside of that, mm-hmm. you know, those three businesses a little bit and do something fun like this. But Bill and Trudy Conrad, who are the owners, Trudy has definitely wanted to do something like this for a while. She's very excited. And we have a lot of interesting games planned. They have some friends with some antique cars that they're going to have them there. And Jesse Malgren, our chef, has kind of created a menu that's very much based on passages from the novel. So he's going to have some items like crispy local oyster wrapped in spiced ham, lobster hash, cured egg, dry farm potato chips, caviar, things like that. So he's looked into what was being served during that time.
That
and
era.
Kind of, yeah, gone back to that. So it's really interesting outside of the box of what we normally do, but we're expecting a really fun event.
Now, do you know what inspired it or where the inspiration came from?
Well, I think it mostly comes from Trudy. She, I think, has wanted to do an event at Madrona Manor during the day. Uh-huh. And she loves the costume idea. It's also inspired a lot by the fact that the new movie is coming out in May.
Okay, yeah.
We don't know what to expect from that either.
I'm so scared about that.
And I don't even know, you know, what Baz Luhrmann, I guess he directed, forgive me if I'm pronouncing that wrong, but I know he directed Moulin Rouge, was one of the movies. So he definitely has a lot of music influence.
He
made some music videos, that type of thing. But so, yeah, I don't know what to expect from that. I know Leonardo DiCaprio's in it. That's about all I know. So we'll see what comes of that. But I think that any time that a popular media event, like a big movie like that, comes around, it kind of gets people to think about that era again.
Well, I think we also have to look at Downton Abbey.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I've been thrilled by Downton Abbey because it's created this resurgence of the interest of fashion of that day. And that's that's probably my favorite period of fashion.
Sure.
And I know that Diavolo, the little cafe up in Geyserville, on, I think it's March 30th, they're going to be having a supper club and speakeasy event at Oddfellows Hall. And, you know, based on, you don't have to dress in 20s clothes, but they are hoping that you will.
Sure.
So I think I saw that first. And then I saw that you were doing this Great Gatsby thing. It's like, yes, thank you, Downton Abbey.
Yeah, people are going to be walking around town with their flapper outfits on for weeks.
Yes, and I hope that on every corner there's a butler and gloves handing me a glass of champagne.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we're excited by the event itself, but we're also excited to kind of show off our gardens. I mean, that time of year, it's going to be on May 5th. Uh-huh. We're expanding our gardens this year a little bit, our food gardens as well, which we haven't done in a while. We have almost 2 acres of gardens that our chef uses on the menu, which has been, you know, a fabulous experience for our guests. They get to stroll up in the gardens right past the produce that's going to be on their plate that night. Mm-hmm. So that's been something that's always been interesting and unique about Madrona Manor. But I also feel like with this expansion, it's going to extend into more areas that people walk. Our gardens are kind of up on the hill a little bit, and sometimes people don't venture up there, but we're literally putting, you know, herbs and vegetables in areas that are more in the main areas of the hotel this year, and that's going to be very interesting. Our gardener has been there. Gino Ciccato has been with Madrona Manor for over 25 years, and some areas, I mean, it really shows the succulent garden he's been working on for all 25 of those years. It's really amazing.
What great continuity. It's so wonderful when there's a gardener who gets to take care of the land, like Doug Gosling out at what's now Occidental Arts and Ecology. He's been there through so many different changes in ownership, and has just been able to take care of that mother garden and grow it and deepen it. It's wonderful. So that's great about Madrona Manor. You know what, we're going to take a quick little musical break here, and we will be right back.
If it keeps on raining, love is going to break. And the water gonna come, I have no place to stay. Well, all last night I sat on a lever and moaned. Well, all last night I sat on a lever and moaned, thinking about my baby and my happy home. If it keeps on raining, love is going to break. If it keeps on raining, love is going to break. And all these people have no place to stay. Now look here, mama, what am I to do? Now look here, mama, what am I to do? I ain't got nobody to care my trouble to. I worked on the ladder, mama, both night and day. I worked on 11, mama, both night and day. I ain't got nobody to keep the water away.
It's Mouthful. We are talking with Kevin West of Madrona Manor, partly about the upcoming event on May 5th, Great Gatsby Garden Party.
Yes.
And then let's return to that towards the end of the show. We'll tell people how to get tickets and all that. But let's talk about Madrona Manor itself, because it's both a hotel, but it's also a restaurant open to the public.
Sure.
And it's been there how long?
Well, it's been a hotel since the early 1980s. I think it officially opened in 1981. So it had literally been a private home or residence for 100 years before it became a hotel. There were many years. I talked to many people over the years that have come in. I've been there for, this is my eighth year now. But I talked to many people that used to come up when it was boarded up.
And, I remember seeing it when it was boarded up.
Yeah, so I mean, there were definitely some years where it was a little bit derelict. What's amazing about that is that much of the furniture, which are amazing, you know, impossible to replace pieces, were in the house during that time that it was boarded up.
Wow.
And luckily it stayed with the house during that time, and we still have them there. You know,
the ghost took good care of it.
Yeah, I think that that's where some of that those ghost stories have come from. It's so funny. When I first started working there, I was so excited to see a ghost. And then I started talking to employees that have been there over 20 years, and there are literally no stories to be told.
No ghost stories. So. Oh, darn.
But there are definitely some pieces that have been around for many years in the house, and you actually, recently, we just got some photos to prove that they've been with the house. There was a gentleman who had some old photos and was showing them to a friend, and his friend said, "Hey, that's Madrona Manor in Healdsburg." And he didn't even know where they were from. He knew that it was his great aunt that had that had, you know, been there, you know, many years ago. So he contacted us, and we were able to get some digital scans of the photos, and we have them on display at the front desk of the hotel in one of those digital frames that revolves through. And it's amazing to look at how cluttered they had the place, and everything was very dark wood, and there were some gas lines going up to the chandeliers. I mean, really unique to see it in that way. But you see tables, you see chairs, you see large you know, hutches and things like that, headboards in the room that we still have to this day, and they were back there in these photos, which are from about the late 1880s, I believe.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, that kind of history is just so engaging and compelling. How many rooms today?
22 rooms. They're spread out between five buildings, and we're currently on 8 acres. When it was first built, it was a 240-acre ranch with a winery, and the gentleman, John Paxton, who built the home, you know, had a lot of different successful business ventures, and he was kind of towards the end of his life, and he built Madrona Manor as kind of a showpiece, and he wanted to start, you know, getting involved in agriculture and the winery business. His winery, incidentally, was built all out of stone and mostly fell down during the 1906 earthquake. So, but the home, which is built out of old growth redwood, you know, which was popular back in the 1880s, has really stood the test of time. It's, I've worked in many hotel properties, you know, some of them brand new, big cities, that type of thing. This is the only one where I've never, ever had a noise complaint. I mean, this thing is built solidly strong. There's 14-foot high ceilings in the lobby. So, I mean, there's a lot of space in between the floors. But in the 1980s, when it was turned into a hotel, the Muir family, as well as some investors, kind of took a place that, as we said, had been derelict and did a lot of the structural and foundation work that needed to be done to turn it into a hotel. And then when our current owners, Bill and Trudy Conrad, bought it in the late 1990s, 1999, is when they kind of went inside and really put in upscale linens. Many of the rooms until that point didn't even have king beds in them. So they took a lot of their experience. They had lived all over the world many years in Italy. Took some of that European sensibility and what they liked from
those
hotels.
Italian linens.
Absolutely.
Nothing like Italian linens.
So they took some of those sensibilities and they kind of brought them to how they would like to run a hotel. And they had never owned a hotel before. And they're very passionate about it. They're very involved in the day-to-day activities at Madrona Manor. But I think that's one of the things that makes it unique is they kind of started from this place where they really wanted to make it what they appreciated when they traveled. And they didn't have, you know, any preconceived notions about how to run a hotel. So, you know, it's really interesting. One of my other you know, favorite things about Madrona Manor that I think makes it very unique is the fact that they just have these, you know, young creative people that are, you know, they put in charge of their departments and they let them just, you know, be individuals. And I think that's one of the reasons that our restaurant has turned out the way it has. I mean, Jesse Malgren has been there since 1999 as well. And he was very young at the time and he definitely had some experience, working with chefs like Gary Danko and but he was let kind of have free reign of the kitchen. And he worked with Gino, who's our gardener, to get the state gardens. I mean, at that time, I think there weren't very many places that were doing that or had access on the property to have their own estate gardens. And he has, you know, fueled his menu completely from the garden. It's really amazing.
Yeah, when I look at the current menu, and I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen a menu except for special event menus in a while. And I look through this. It has so many ingredients that I love. And first of all, you can spot easily some of the things you know have come from the gardens. Rosemary blossoms.
Yes.
You know, what a little symbol of spring. But, looking down here, there's hedgehog mushroom, my favorite mushroom. There's bone marrow. There's a lot of Sonoma County products. There's green garlic. There was something else. Where is it? Oh, I love the farro and flowers, chanterelles with creamy farro, herbs, flowers, and shucked peas. It just reads, you know, I just want to be in that kitchen.
And it's amazing because, you know, I walked around with Jesse the other day through the garden, and he even takes areas that, for me as the hotel manager, I might think is a problem area. We have this area that doesn't have the best drainage, and there's water that, you know, goes through. And he pointed out, yeah, this is where I get my watercress.
Perfect. And I saw that he even has miner's lettuce. You know, miner's lettuce isn't something you really cultivate.
Sure.
It just grows.
Sure. Yeah, I was, and I was excited to see that he was making use of an area that I thought, we need to fix the drainage on this area. Oh, no, this is the watercress.
So. And what a luxury being able to pick your own watercress. That's really great.
Absolutely. Yeah, he makes a egg sabillon, which is inside a hollowed out egg shell that is an amuse-bouche. Mm-hmm. And it's got this amazing little one spoonful of like a potato type soup inside that has watercress on the bottom. And it's just very... You know, it's just one mouthful is what you get, and you're longing for more, but then the next thing comes and you're just as excited about that. So, you know, one of the other things that he had up in the garden was Mizuna flowers he was using. Mm-hmm. He also has some arugula flowers that he's using on the Wagyu. So lots of flowers right now with spring, like you mentioned, that he's utilizing in the menu, and things that I didn't even know were edible that are growing around the property. Uh-huh. You know, another person on our staff is our mixologist at the bar, Pam Bushling. She does the same thing. She'll find a tree that's not even really in a guest area and realize, oh, you know, this has some calamondrins or this has some figs, you know, on it. And she, you know, gets them into a drink on the cocktail menu that night. And so, I mean, a lot of the creative staff is fueled by what's going on outside of the building. Which
now, do you actually have a bar where somebody can just stop by and have a drink? Or is it just...
Absolutely,
we do. I did not know that.
We have a full bar and an amazing mixologist. Like I said, we don't have a bar where you can pull up a stool and sit down at the bar, but I think what we have is even better because you're able to get your drink and then you can literally take it almost anywhere on the property. You can go up in the gardens and sit down on little benches that we have up there. Down by the fountain, we have some benches. We have tables scattered throughout. And then we have our large front veranda, which was, you know, built onto the mansion, you know, as kind of the showpiece for the beautiful view looking out towards Fitch Mountain and Mount St. Helena. And that's where most people take their cocktails.
So I didn't realize you could just stop by for a drink. That is such great news.
Absolutely. And we also have a lounge menu where you're able to try items that are on the menu without doing a
full
3-hour commitment.
Now, is it the Conrads who instituted these things? I don't remember that when Todd Muir was there.
No, you know, it's been a slow evolution. I think what the Conrads do, which is great, is that they just let the staff, you know, the experts, you know, Jesse, the restaurant manager that lets them, you know, decide and try out new things. And we get very specialized at what we do. I mean, we definitely do weddings and we do a very unique wedding. You know, we don't, we are who we are. We're Madrona Manor. If you're not looking for a Victorian mansion, you know, with an estate garden, then if you're looking for something more modern, it's probably not going to be at Madrona Manor. But I think that within those, you know, specifics that we do, we've definitely been evolving over the years. Mm-hmm. And in the short time that I've been there, it's just amazing, you know, what we do there. It's very inspiring. We all wear many hats there, but, you know, I'm very involved, you know, with the maintenance, with the housekeeping, with the way that the rooms look. Trudy is constantly pulling chairs out of one room, putting them in another room, you know, reupholstering things. Our guests come back to their favorite room year after year, and there's always something something new that they find, and they always mention that to us. Uh-huh. So it's unique in that way. It's very unique, and it does feel as if you've stepped back in time. We actually don't have any televisions in our rooms. You know, it's a good way to kind of come to, you know, Sonoma County, be in the country and disconnect a little bit from mm-hmm. what's going on in the city. Yeah. I find that many times our guests, even, you know, for one night, they feel so relaxed after they leave. And it's refreshing to see that.
Yeah, it's such a that sort of unplugged experience is just such a wonderful interlude.
Sure. Absolutely.
So we're going to take another musical break here, and we'll be right back on Mouthful.
Hard times in every where you go. Times are harder than ever been before. You know that people, they are drifting from door to door, but they can't find no heaven. I don't care where they go. If I ever can get up off of this old heart-killing floor, Lord, I'll never get out this low no more. Mm-hmm. This old lonesome song, people, you know these hard times can't last us so long. Just drive along so.
Michelle Anna Jordan, it's Mouthful. My guest, Kevin West, general manager of Madrona Manor. Here is a very interesting sounding dish. This is under the smooth category. The recipe progresses. Clean, crisp, soft, delicate, smooth, meaty, and then sweets and cheeses. And under the smooth category, there is Atlantic scallops. They're freshly shucked with wild greens and yeast and malt and a cured egg. And I just really want to see how Jesse works that yeast in, what happens with that. That's very intriguing.
I wish I could.
No, I'm not expecting you to answer.
I can tell you it's delicious.
Yeah, you'd have to taste it. But, I mean, that's just, okay.
There's something about a freshly shucked scallop, too, that just you don't need to do much to it. It's so unfishy, and it's not treated like the ones you get at the
market. And it smells like the ocean.
Absolutely.
As all good fish should. It shouldn't when I was showing going to a special workshop with these two beautiful fillets of mahi-mahi, and when I told our teacher, by the way, it has its skin on, and she just looked at me like, oh my God, it's going to smell really fishy. It's going to stink up my kitchen. Calmed her down, and it's like, no, it won't. And it just smelled so, it just smelled like you were at the ocean. And I'm the one who ended up skinning it, and we cooked it with nothing but a little bit of salt on the grill, and it was, I mean, it tasted like the ocean.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, with you know, good sashimi or something. Mm. I mean, you know, it's just a little touch of salt, and it just really brings out that flavor. It's so amazing.
And you've got yellowtail crudo, which mm-hmm. is sort of, it's like sashimi only cut thinner. And that's where the rosemary blossoms are. And also, your neighbor appears, Tavero foie gras. I mean, why did I say foie gras? That's so weird. I saw a duck up there, and my brain went to foie gras. Tavero olive oil. I wonder if I'm channeling something to come in the future. Tavero olive oil. So they're right there near you.
Absolutely. And they're home, and their actual farm is right next to us.
Well.
But they recently put in a tasting room mm-hmm. and a nice little area down across the street from Madrona Manor. Our mm-hmm. guests can literally walk across
Rock
the street
there, yeah.
and go over there. And they've been great neighbors. We love their product. I mean, their olive oil has been on our menu, you know, in different forms for all the years that I've been there.
One of the very best American, I'd say one of the two or three best American olive oils ever produced.
Absolutely. And they're very down-to-earth people. And I think that also they have that kind of European sensibility too, where I believe that that Ridge was in Italy and really found the exact olive oil and the exact trees that he wanted for his olive oil. And
I was there when he was when he was doing his first harvest. And if I remember correctly, I went to his house right when he had gotten back the olive oil from his first batch, and it's a mix of four varietals from this nursery in Lucca that made up the oil that he wanted to make something like it. And I got to taste the oil that was his benchmark plus his brand new first olive oil.
Sure.
And it was great timing on my part to end up at his house at that moment.
It's
remarkable stuff.
Well, and with those trees, too, I know it wasn't last year, maybe the year before, when we got all of that rain and wind, and it knocked the buds off the trees, and they just completely lost a crop.
Yeah,
and
they lost an entire year.
But looking at least the fruit trees on our property right now, in fact, Gino was even saying this the other day, if we get just, a little bit more rain and not any big storms, this is probably going to be a fantastic crop year for peaches and the stone fruit that we have on the property. Uh-huh. And I am hoping that they have a good crop with their olives as well, because they make great wines, but to lose their olive crop was just devastating that year. It definitely I could tell how crushed they were when they mentioned that.
It was right about the time they had opened the tasting room as well, so it has been really, really crushing. Have you had the Olio Nuovo from 12 yet?
No.
I haven't had it yet either. I haven't been able to get up there, but I'm going soon.
That's just one of the great things about the area where we're in, where Dry Creek and Russian River, meet. There's just so many unique places like that. Mm-hmm. I think that that's definitely one of the things that I love about Madrona Manor as well. Even though I live in Healdsburg, just to drive that 1 mile outside, you just feel like you're out in the country. And
you are.
And, and driving past the mustard and then, coming up the hill, we're just high enough on the hill to have, that fantastic mm-hmm. view. And there's just a lot, for our guests. I mean, there are literally times where our guests are coming back, you know, to us and booking their next trip because they're so excited by the area. We get a lot of people that have been to other, you know, wine regions in, mm-hmm. in California and just like the mom and pop feel. And the fact that, you know, you go to a place like Devero and you'll meet Ridge or Colleen and, you know, mm-hmm. it's just nice to be able to meet the owners, to have the family dog come up and greet you yeah. when you arrive. I mean, it's
and have it be an actual farm product.
Absolutely.
You know, you can see things right there.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a very special little triangle there.
Well, and everybody's learning from each other. I mean, mm-hmm. you mentioned Diavola and I know that Dino and Ari from Scopa used yes. to work together. Yeah. And I mean, it's just, there's a lot of amazing things going on that have a really good community feel in Healdsburg. And
yeah.
even though we're, you know, outside of town just a little bit, I mean, we definitely start to have our creativity fueled by what's going on at the other places. And our owner, Bill Conrad, always says, you know, it's an all boats rise situation. I mean, when everyone else is successful, that's when we get successful. And just the creativity that I mentioned that sparked off of each other is mm-hmm. just really fun to watch. It's an exciting, you know, time in Healdsburg right now.
It is. And, you know, Healdsburg is so transformed. I've been here a long time, and Healdsburg was just a sleepy little town.
Oh, sure.
And then one really great restaurant opened, Tre Scalini, which is, you know, a lot of people don't even remember it anymore.
And where was that? Was that
Tre Scalini, it was just south of the town square on the west side of the road. What is there now? Maybe a couple doors south of where H2H.
Oh, okay.
Right down there. You know, that because of the, there were no hotels.
Uh-huh.
Not on that main street there. And Tre Scalini was, for a time, the very best Italian restaurant. Definitely in Sonoma County, possibly in the North Bay.
Wow, that's amazing.
Extraordinary risottos. I mean, just... It was sort of the first of that new wave of real Italian foods.
Sure.
And it was the place to go in the late 80s.
Oh, how neat.
And I can see the name of the owners, and I'm not going to remember it right now. I'll remember it when I'm walking out of the studio. But, you know, still, it was still very much a small town with not what's going on now, not even a whisper of it.
Sure.
But it's been transformed. I was just up at Bravo's for the first time on Friday. Out in the backyard, the back, which is just great.
Oh, they've done a great job.
They really
that.
Have, and it's
those heaters that are kind of built into the ground.
Yes.
I don't know how they did that, but they're five times stronger than any other mushroom heater I've ever been under. Because we went there out to the bar area, and it was maybe December, and it was very cold outside, but we felt
you could
nice
still
and
enjoy
toasty.
It. And yeah. they've got that semi enclosed bar there,
sure.
and they're also, if I can say this on the air. They're dog friendly back there, you know, so I have a new puppy, and that was her very first outing.
Excursion to fine dining.
Yes. To anywhere other than to a friend's house.
Sure.
That was her very first excursion, and she embarrassed me, but that's okay. They love the Starks, bless their hearts. They love dogs, and they
that's
said,
great.
No worries. She's welcome back. But yeah, there were a lot of people there, and they come over. In fact, they brought Lark a little porcelain plate with pieces of dog biscuits broken into bite-sized pieces for her and put it on the ground where she was standing.
Oh, that's cute.
So they're very dog-friendly. So, yeah, Healdsburg has just really become an amazing, amazing place that still, even though, you know, there's a lot of tourists there now, the locals haven't vanished.
No.
It's very, you know, sometimes you go to the town of Sonoma, which has been a tourist destination for much longer. And at certain times, you feel like, are there any locals left? And you find them, but you have to go during the week. You have to go at different times during the day. But in Healdsburg, it still always has that locals overlay.
Sure, yeah. And it's small enough, you know, having my wife and I have a 9-year-old son who's in the local school, the public school, and there are a lot of families, there are a lot of parents. I've met many kids that have grown up their whole lives in Healdsburg that tell me some of these stories like you have of you know, what it used to be like. Mm-hmm. They work at Madrona Manor, you know, over the years, and our wedding staff, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing. But the size, you know, one of the things that I like about it in terms of development is those vineyards are surrounding us on all sides, and nobody's ever going to develop that.
Right, yeah, so it's going to stay like it is.
I think it's, you know, really has the potential to evolve but kind of stay the same size. Mm-hmm. My sister recently moved to Asheville,
North Carolina. Yeah.
And she, you know, keeps talking about this small town that she lives in. I didn't realize they have almost 80,000 people, whereas Healdsburg is still sitting right there between 11 and 12, I think. Mm-hmm. And that to me really, you know, feels like a very small town.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking at this other menu. This is the Grand Dame menu. It's a tasting menu.
It's 11
with wine
courses.
Pairing. Yeah. 11 courses with wines already chosen. And you can start to read the first course. It says caviar, smoke, onion with Delamotte Brut Blanc de Blanc from Champagne. Next comes sunchokes, pear, and endive. And you get a Haman Lowenstein Riesling. I'm not going to say that next word, Mosel, Germany. next comes lobster, ham hock, and blood orange with, one of my favorite wineries in the entire universe, Rocchioli. This is a Rocchioli Chardonnay. And then, interestingly, it says a gift, brioche, curry, and apple ice wine. That is so interesting. And next comes the one course I would not be able to eat, but it sounds really good anyway, and that's abalone with kohlrabi and soy with 2005 Cobb Pinot Noir Sonoma Coast. That's the only food that I know of that will kill me. So I watch other people eat abalone. Petrali Sole comes next with clam steamed in red wine. There's endive. There's truffles. It's a skewis Pinot Noir, Wagyu beef, roasted carrots, seaweed, daikon, and kedu. And Kedu Odyssey Syrah. And then, of course, to make you giggle, cheese and pretzels with Robert Sinsky Pinot Blanc. We love Robert Sinsky here on Mouthful. Rhubarb cheesecake with pistachio, Dry Creek Vineyards Solai from Dry Creek Valley, of course. They were just on Mouthful last week. And then we have a tableside carte glace.
You know what that is?
I think I do, but I want you to tell us.
Well, they wheel up a cart, to your table. There's a copper bowl in the cart, and there's a pitcher, and there's a little flask that looks almost like something that a chemistry major in college would use. It's more like a flask. And in that flask is what our pastry chef and chef have come up with is, cream, sugar, vanilla, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. They pour it into the copper bowl, and then they open up the pitcher that has liquid nitrogen in it.
Oh.
And they pour that into the copper bowl. So they're literally turning the cream and sugar
into
ice cream right in front
of
your eyes. And there's smoke everywhere. Looks a little bit like maybe a Pink Floyd concert or something. but it's honestly the best tasting ice cream I've ever had. Something about the way it freezes so quickly and there's not any air trapped in it.
And it's utterly smooth.
Absolutely.
Utterly smooth.
And then the pastry chef does some nice things with some melted Valrhona chocolate, some, candied pecan, some a real cherry, on top, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
So that's always been kind of a favorite. It's quite a show when they do that.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly what I would have said. But it reminds me a little bit of what they did at Cyrus. It's the things I miss most about Cyrus. Well, right at the end, after you've had many, many courses and you cannot possibly eat anything else, they would come out with their candy cart.
Sure.
And a box. And you would choose, and they would send you home with it.
Absolutely.
And it was like, house-made lollipops and all this stuff. And it just made you beam.
Yeah. And our pastry chef, Manny Fimbres, he sends out some little gifts to take home as well. And constantly changing, but he does some great Mignardise and the little chocolates and everything. It's just really beautiful.
So when it comes to the restaurant, and if this isn't your area, no worries. But what's the sort of balance between locals and people from out of the, and visitors?
I think if when you say locals, you're including the Bay Area.
Oh, sure.
I think it's pretty strong. I think we get a lot of people from San Francisco and mm-hmm. the Bay Area. We definitely get locals, and we have a great relationship with the local wineries. And when their wines are paired on the menu, we tend to see them quite a bit. And we're constantly evolving the menu. I have seen it happen in the summer where our menu will change three times in 1 week, and we're only open five nights a week, mm-hmm. Wednesday through Sunday evening. So, you know, depending on what Jesse's getting from the garden and what he's getting from some of the local purveyors. So that means that the wine pairings are changing as well. And when you're at the front desk in the morning and a guest comes up and they say, you know, how do I find out about this Cobb Pinot? How do I find out about this Rocchioli Chardonnay? How can I visit them? You realize that that's all been fueled by what the experience they had in the dining room. So we definitely see some locals, and it's interesting too. You know, I think that for fine dining, when you see somebody come in sometimes in shorts and a fleece jacket, and you realize that they own a winery. I mean, that's just how Sonoma County is.
Absolutely.
but yeah, we definitely we see quite a few locals. I think sometimes for Santa Rosa and you know Healdsburg, the more immediate area, we're considered a little bit of a special occasion. So a lot of times we see people on their anniversaries or for their birthdays. But most of our guests that are staying overnight are from the Bay Area and beyond.
Oh, that are staying overnight. Cool.
Yeah.
And now that you know that, now that everyone knows they can go and have a drink and order from the lounge menu, maybe you'll start seeing more locals.
Sure, absolutely.
Isn't that just, you'll see me for that, definitely. We're going to take one final musical break here on Mouthful, and we'll be right back.
They've been digging my potatoes, Lord, they're tramping on my vine. Now I've got a special plan now, baby, Lord, that resting on my line. I don't want no cabbage sprouts. Bring me a solid hay. Suppose to call the wagon now if I catch them in my bed. You know they dig in my potatoes. Lord, they're tramping on my vine. Yes, I've got a special plan now, baby. Lord, that resting on my mind. Now my vines is all green, titters they all red. Never found a bruised one till I caught them in my bed. You know they dig in my potatoes. Lord, they try. Special plant now, baby. Lord, that resting on my mind. Now I've been all around, looking up and down. Never found my baby, cause she was laying in another town. I know she's digging my potatoes. Love, she's tramping on my vine. Yes, now I got a special plan now, baby. Love that resting on my mind. Yes, I've got a special plan now, baby. Love that resting on my mind.
I've got to say thank you to Mary Moore Campagna, who did the music for us tonight. Her show is going to be on tomorrow. Lady Plays the Blues. It's on, I think, at 10 o'clock. Yes, 10 to midnight. And the theme comes back to where we started when Mouthful started the show this evening. And that's the 20s and that whole time period in Great Gatsby. And most people, I think, by default sort of associate the era with jazz. But there's some great blues going on at that time.
Absolutely.
Really great. And again, it takes me back, your mentioning of the Victrola, it takes me back to how this interest in the time period has been, if not started, launched by Downton Abbey, certainly fueled by Downton Abbey, because there's a scene, and I think it's near the end of the, yeah, it's near the end of the second season, where Matthew and Mary have this great moment with a Victrola.
Yes.
And, you know, so much of the plot turns on that Victrola moment. So that just makes the idea that you have a Victrola even more exciting.
Oh, sure. And, you know, when I do find the blues records and I put them on, there's something about that cracking and popping that just makes it better almost.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
It's really neat to listen to them all. And I haven't even begun to explore them. I really want to clean them up. I mean, it's definitely going to be a little bit of work. But I just love the machine. I mean, it's so simple. You know, the way you turn up the volume on that machine is just by opening the front cabinet doors more. If you want to turn it down, you close them a little more. I mean, it's just a wooden acoustic box, and there's no and you crank it.
And what's the music? I mean, it looks like vinyl. Is it vinyl?
I think it's some sort of shellac. They're very heavy.
Yeah. And they're not 78s. They're pre-78s, right?
Yes. Yeah. They're pre-78s. They're some sort of shellac. I mean, they're very heavy. Some of them are one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are cracked and some of them are broken. There's one that was some sort of comedy routine. I don't know who it was. But I just thought, you know, that was really interesting to be back from that era. But yeah, it's definitely been fun to have that. And, you know, I'm just happy that even before I got that, I have a 9-year-old son that knows what a record is. So that's always been important to me.
Oh, that, me too.
Because he's had some friends come over and they say, "What is that?" And I have all these, you know, old LPs laying around and records, and I put it on the turntable and play it
right
for them
on.
And they're like, wow.
I have a jukebox. I have all the 45s I started buying when I was 9 years old, and kids come to, you know, my grandson's 11 now, but since he cared about music, which is by the time he was walking,
sure,
he's been learning what vinyl is, and they have parties at my house and they dance to the jukebox.
Oh, that's fun.
That's really great. So back to the Great Gatsby party. Great Gatsby garden party.
Yes.
It's taking place on May 5th. How do people get tickets?
Or
reservations or whatever?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, we have tickets. They can go to gatsby@madronamanor.eventbrite.com. So there's an Eventbrite way to get it.
Okay, now if they go to madronamanor.com, do you have a link through to that?
Absolutely, and we really invite locals to just call us. We can give you more information on the event. We have an 800 number, 258-4003.
258-4003.
Yes.
And that's with 800 before it?
Yes. Okay, and we have somebody there from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, and we can sell you tickets that way or tell you a little bit more about it.
Uh-huh.
We're slowly learning more about it each day because there's a lot of minds and a lot of visions involved in this event, and it, you know, Trudy definitely has lots of ideas on what she wants to do, and it's I mean, if you come to this event, you're guaranteed to get good food, which you always do at Madrona Manor, but you're also kind of experimenting with us a little bit to see what we can do on our property with this type of event.
What time does it take place?
It takes place from 2 to 5 p.m., mm-hmm. so it's a daytime event. And I'm so sorry that I don't have the name of the band, but there's a band from San Francisco that's going to be coming up, and I got to watch a video of them, and they were fantastic, and they are going to play some of those jazzy classics from the era, so that should be really fun.
What's it cost?
It costs $65.
And that's not bad.
No, it includes the band, vintage cocktails. You'll have two drinks included in the price, and then a menu that's inspired from dishes in the book. And it's going to be more of a heavy hors d'oeuvre style.
Sure, at that
time
of day.
Tray passed and stations that you can go to, but you will definitely not leave hungry. So even though we're not calling it a dinner, you will get a good amount of food from this event. So.
And, you know, if you don't have vintage clothing, there's, first of all, it's time to go shopping. But here's another suggestion. You can go to Haute Couture. in Railroad Square in Santa Rosa.
I've heard many people mention
that.
Oh,
yeah, you just go there and have Marta clothe you.
Sure.
You can come to my house and borrow something out of my closet. I have tons of that era. But no, you can't really come to my house.
Well, my wife and I have a bad sweater Christmas party every year, and our motto is, if you don't dress up, don't worry, we'll dress you when you arrive.
There you go.
So, you know, we may hand you a parasol or put a hat on you, but...
That's right. You can take parasols to this. I need a new parasol if I come, because I think what I'm wearing doesn't match any of my current parasols. So I'm going to be, and you can find really great parasols right now as well. And you know, they seem to me, in my limited view, seem to be making a comeback, parasols.
Sure.
Because you know, you can't always wear a sun hat, but you don't really want to bake in the sun anymore. So you just take one of your parasols
with
you.
Absolutely. Yeah, it seems as if they're more needed in our era than they were back then.
Yeah. Yeah, though I think it was, you know, they knew not to bake in the sun back then.
Sure.
So anyway, and one thing, we need to give the address of Madrona Manor.
Sure.
We haven't done that.
We're at 1001 West Side Road in Healdsburg. As you mentioned earlier, we're right where West Side Road and West Dry Creek intersect.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I would invite any of your listeners to do is, when you do go to our website, we have some fantastic new photos so you can see what our rooms look like, you know, some of the things that we've been talking about today. But you can also opt in for our newsletter, and that's how we really keep people informed on what events that we're having at Madrona Manor. We also have a great Facebook page, too. So, you know, social media is the wave of the future. Who would think, you know,
And the future is now. On that note, Kevin West, General Manager of Madrona Manor in Healdsburg, thank you so much for taking time to be on Mouthful.
Thank you. It was really fun.
And thanks to you for tuning in. And be sure to meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour.
Story. Well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Now let's go.